I use the same wig in all the images so far. It's an extension of who I am, I feel. Through this character, I can live an alternative life.
Was mit Kunst? Ein Podcast von und mit Johann König.
Today's guest is the artist Rennparadis, but to be precise, it's a re-air of an earlier conversation, but it pretty much fits her recent exhibition at König Telegrafenamt. So Renn works with collages, so she creates an image, and then after she created that collage image, she goes out into sort of a re-enacting or performing act in pretty amazing environments, which then get photographed. And based on this, she also creates paintings. Anyway, let's hear Renn explain what she's doing. And please come visit the exhibition at König Telegrafenamt in Berlin. Welcome, Renn.
Hi, Johann.
Renn, you are currently in the residency in Mexico, preparing your show at König Mexico. Tell us what you're doing there.
Yes, so I arrived a few weeks ago and the exhibition is going to open in 2 days. So I've been working on finishing some of the paintings that will be part of the show. And it has been a great experience so far.
And tell me, your paintings are a mix between photography and painting?
No, so the show is a selection of photography works that are part of my previous series, and it will also include some paintings, some new paintings actually. And there will be also a room with an installation with a sculpture.
Okay, because it's interesting that your work somehow creates an immersive experience, I would say, even though they're two-dimensional, usually involving yourself as an object or as a element inside some sort of world you create, and that's also continued in the exhibition because you paint the walls, you work with a certain color palette which is repeating in your images, and your photography, they have this very painterly presence, which are based on sort of performance activations you do, right?
Yes, exactly.
Take us on that journey. Like, how do you work?
I developed a photo series for the past like 10 years. Each time the process is the same. So I imagine a scene and I create a small maquette that is kind of a mix of paint and drawing and a collage. And once I envision the scene as a maquette, I start scouting to find like the real location. And so it can be in the US because I'm based in the US, but it can also be in different countries. Sometimes it takes really a while to find the perfect location. And once I find the location, I build all the costumes and the props. And as you mentioned, I am inside of those photography works. And so I work with a partner and we travel together. And he is the one shooting the images, but everything is set up prior to shooting the image. And then once we have the image shot, I modify usually the saturation of the sky or a certain color. If, for example, I have a building that is a different color than my original color palette, I will change it. And then once this photo is done, some of those scenes then become paintings.
But even the photos are post-retouched, right? So, for example,
yes.
The motif of the invitation card or the poster is you jumping off a cliff, but at the same time, this cliff has some sort of a jumping board. You create it in a way that it looks artificial, but it's real, but it's a prop, no?
Yes, so it's a prop. So this image was shot in Crater Lake. It's in Oregon in the US. And the reason why I wanted to shoot in that location, it's because the lake is so deep that the actual color of the water is the blue that I use in my series, which is like really between like a Klein blue and I would say it's a bit darker than a Klein Blue. So we went to this location, and so I bring the props and we set the scene, you know, with the angle and all this. And then actually this scene was very real compared to certain scenes where sometimes I have to add the prop. We shoot the prop and I have to add it in the sky, for example.
But it's not post-produced. If the prop is in the sky, it's really physically, yeah, you put it there, right? So you don't, yes, retouch the photos after, but they have this very unreal presence, but they're real.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So, yes. Yeah.
And here the jumping board, you sort of plucked the jumping board onto the rock?
Yes, exactly. But I didn't touch the jumping board, for example. I wasn't like diving from the jumping board. I was diving from next to the jumping board.
Because the jumping board is not stable, even though, yeah, on the picture, exactly, it looks like you jump from it. Okay. That jumping board, this red sort of contrast color in almost like a minimal element there, that you pick up and the same sort of color palette reappears in one of the paintings, right?
Yes, I work with very reduced color palettes. So usually for each series, I use only 4 colors. And so far, I have 2 series that I have finished. So those color palettes, for example, for the one that you are mentioning, it's that deep blue, white, and that kind of neon orange. And all the work that belongs to that series will be using like the same color palette.
Mm-hmm. And how do you choose these colors?
Naturally, I'm drawn to very intense colors. And so in each of my color palettes, I always have one of the colors that is very intense. Each time I develop a new series, it always starts with the color palette first. So the colors are really at the center of my work, I would say.
And so the images you sort of direct, you like almost function like a director when you create these scenarios. How do you come to these images? You make collages first and then you find the right spot after you created the collage.
Yeah, exactly. There are a few exceptions where I will discover a location that I think is amazing, and then I will develop a scene based on the location. But usually it's always the other way around, where I will look for locations based on what I imagine. So that's why it can take a while to complete a series.
And after you realize the photograph, then this inspires you to create a painting, not directly based on it, but in reference to it, correct?
Yes. So some of those scenes become paintings. And those paintings, I still use the same color palette. And they become like deconstruction versions of those scenes. So for example, the body that you see in the photography work become like a see-through geometrical shape, usually. And so it becomes more like an abstract interpretation of that scene. However, I want to preserve the feeling of that scene that I had at the beginning.
So there is one photo you took of you standing under an airplane. So you had to go to an sort of empty airport. Another one is you run down from a cliff, from a mountain. It's a mix between sort of land art and also performance activation, which you don't really see anymore. But there's a huge effort you create to create these pictures, which are not really visible anymore. But it's interesting because these photographs they're real, but have this unreal presence. So how important is this effort you create?
Yes, so the performance aspect in those photo is like one of the most important aspects, I would say, for me, because it allows me like to really live the scene. And each scene has a specific feeling in my mind. And I feel if I wasn't living that scene, the final work wouldn't be complete. For me, it allows me to, you know, like live moments that I would never experience, like discover location. It's an adventure too that is crucial to the making of this work.
You somehow envision an atmosphere and then you recreate it and try to capture it in the image. And how successful is your pro rata? Like how often does it fail?
So some scenes I have to reshoot many times in different locations because it can be for many different reasons that it doesn't work out the first time. But I would say 80% of the time it works because, you know, I scout for a while and now I really have the experience with the color palette and I know what can't work and what can work. So, you know, but I still have scenes that I have to reshoot, it's true.
It's interesting. It's like multi-leveled, right? You collage, then you experience and sort of act, you direct, you photograph, but then you, in the next step, you create these paintings. Why do you have the urge to abstract it even more and bring it to a sensual visual experience?
I started to work really only with the photo series at the beginning, but I always wanted to paint. For me, it takes it to a different level because it takes out all the real aspects that compose the scene. And it brings a bit like a purity inside the work and it's less distracting compared to the photography. It was kind of a natural path for me to bring it to this more abstract form. And I also have the glass sculptures that I'm developing that are based on some of the elements from the photography too.
Yeah, because I mean, this sort of translucent, or, you know, this like color, these like strong neon colors, which are fading through, I would say, that makes sense that you also work with glass. But So is the glass sculpture then evolving out of the painting? So the cycle is never ending, or is like the painting the last stop in that cycle?
Yeah, I would say maybe the sculptures are before the paintings because they are the same shape as the sculptures that I use in the images, the photo. So yeah, I would say maybe the last step so far would be the paintings. Because in the paintings, you recognize the scenes, but it's really abstract.
Your clothing style, is that sort of part of your artistic character you create?
Yes. So I create all the costumes.
Yeah, it's like an alter ego?
Yes, because I use the same wig in all the images so far. So it's a blonde wig with short hair. And I have very long hair and I don't have blonde hair. So it's a character, like it's an extension of who I am, I feel. But through this character, I can live an alternative life.
You're from France. Take us where you come from and how you got in touch with art.
Yes. So I grew up in France, in the southwest of France. In a tiny village, it was very remote and cut a bit from the world. It was kind of an interesting childhood because, you know, I was very alone, kind of. But at the same time, it allowed me to imagine all those different worlds and all this. And I feel a lot of my work is based from those childhood memories that I already created, I think. The more I create and the more I have a step back, the more I realize how this period of my life impacted my work nowadays.
Interesting, because I mean, you live in Los Angeles now, which looks quite obvious when to look at your images. They all have some sort of a Ed Ruscha Californian light and vibe and energy. probably that was like the natural choice. I can't really see France resonating in your motives.
No, it's true. And when I was a teenager, I did all my studies in France, but as soon as I could leave, I left the country. So I moved to London just after my studies, and I lived there for a bit more than a year, but I didn't really like it. And I didn't want to move back to France. And so that's why I moved to Los Angeles. I had never been to the US. I had an opportunity to go, and I didn't know if I would like it or not. But as soon as I arrived, I fell in love, with the city. And it has, weirdly, some similarities with the way I grew up a little bit. I would say in the vastness of the place. And also, it's a city where you can feel also alone, And so there are feelings that are connected to my childhood. But it looks very different. But I felt like much more in touch with who I am once I moved to LA. I felt like really free and different than what I was feeling, like during my teenage years and my young adult life in France.
When did the possibility of making art and making also living of art occurred into your life? Like, did you had any role models to be influenced by? Like, I guess art was not on the daily routine in the middle of France.
Well, actually, both my parents were art restorers. So my mom was a painting restorer for museums and collectors of like very old paintings. And my dad was a furniture restorer for very old furniture, like, for example, Louis XIV cabinets. And so they were both working within the property where I grew up in the very remote location, and they both had their studios there. So I was exposed to a lot of art growing up. I feel from a very, very young age, I always knew I would do something artistic with my life.
And when did you notice that you have this like language of the colors you use and this sort of multi-layered journey of collage, restating or acting the collage in a performance and photographing it? Like, that's a very specific and also unique practice which differs you from many. I don't know any other artist who works like this, also with that intense sort of color vocabulary. When did you notice that, or when did you formulate that practice?
As long as I can remember, I've always been like super obsessed with colors. So it was always part of my world, like even as a young child. But for me to really use, for example, this passion for colors, it took me a while to allow myself to start creating this new world, And I think when I moved to Los Angeles, it's really when I decided to start and see how it goes, So it's really when I moved to Los Angeles.
So, I mean, obviously light plays a big role, because also when you create these photographs, you put them in like a plexiglass frame, which is another fluorescent element sort of in contrast to the pictures, right?
The plexiglass frames are made from the same materials that I used for the props inside the images. And so it is a continuity from the photography medium, it extends the work, into like the use of the same material. It works really well, I feel, for my second series, which is called Midnight, because you almost feel that the work is lit because it's so intense. Like the neon color of the frame, but it's not lit. It's just that it's intense.
And do you also exhibit your collages, or are they only for sort of developing the picture?
Yes. So each time I have an exhibition, I show the maquettes, the collage. And I think they are like a huge part of the work, actually, because they are the, you know, they are like the essence of that scene. And I am very attached to them, actually.
Okay. So you, also in Mexico now, you show collage, photo and painting.
Yes, and sculpture. So I selected one photo, which is called The Escape. And in that photo, my body is kind of a bit not super sharp. And in the sky, you have that bird. And so the installation room is linked to that photo. It's the same bird that I used for that photo. So there is a link.
But the bird is prop in the photo, or it's an actual bird?
It's a prop. It's a prop. Okay, it's a sculpture.
Okay. In the photo as well?
Yes, exactly.
And it's the same, but of course different scale than in the sculpture. So one element leads to another. Your whole work is a bit like an escapism, I don't know, imaginary world the viewer also can escape into, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's very immersive.
And is there a narrative too?
Not necessarily. I feel each viewer really sees different aspects, or like they get touched by something that is very different depending on the viewer. And I like to keep it open and not to impose any sort of idea or narration to the pieces.
But I mean, it's a bit on like a journey of Alice in Wonderland, which we can follow, jumping off cliffs, swimming in pools, trying to catch airplanes. And
yeah, it's an adventure, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And some scenes, so each photo series has 15 scenes that compose a photo series. And some of those scenes are, I would say, more passive. Some of those scenes are more, not positive, but each scene has a different energy. And so it allows me also to express, you know, my feelings and also like dark side of my own world too, through the photos.
Maybe that's why the wig, no? To keep a certain distance or something like this.
Yeah, maybe subconsciously. That's why it takes a while. Yeah.
And tell me the works in the exhibition. So there are several rooms which you also painted in different colors?
Yes. So there will be like three different parts. So one is the installation with the sculpture. And there is also a soundscape in that room that my partner composed too. So you'll be immersed in that blue room, you know, with this glass sculpture rotating in the room. And then you enter into another blue room, but that is painted, not lit.
Uh-huh.
And in that blue room, I selected a few pieces from the photo series, but also some new paintings that belong to the same color palette. And then you enter an orange room. And in that room also, it's a selection of pieces that belong to one series too.
And then there's one painting, which is interesting because it's like there's a work by Evelyn Axel, who was a very legendary pop artist who unfortunately died way too early. And we sold that a painting of her two legs to MoMA. I think I showed you. But your legs are in reference to a photo of yours, right?
Yes. So some of the paintings are directly linked to the photo series, as we previously talked about. Some of them are not at all, but they belong to the same color palette. And that one, it's called Jardin de Lys. It's a composition with some... So for example, the legs, I have always taken photos from that angle, which is like super close to the body, of just legs, my legs. It's a composition between those elements and then imaginary elements too. So in that painting, I have some trees that are actually flowers, but even the flowers are, they look a bit imaginary flowers. They don't look very realistic. Those more figurative paintings are some of my recent work. So they will always be, you know, part of the entire body of work.
Mm-hmm. And then some of these paintings, they almost look like as if they were curtains or fabric.
Yes.
And where's this coming from? Or is it the surface of a swimming pool?
It's interesting you say this, because in that show, I have only curtains, but I also have paintings in development that are actually the surface of the swimming pool using the same technique, kind of. But the curtains, I have always been drawn to curtains since I'm really young. And with a step back, I would say that I'm interested in the duality between, you know, like being hidden and at the same time being exposed. And so a curtain, when we think about it, like it can really unveil something, but also it can hide. And I feel in my work, I use a lot of transparent elements or material. It is kind of that idea that you can be hidden, but also unveiled or illuminated by those curtains or by this transparent material.
Yeah, because a curtain, they are sort of transparent fluorescent curtains, right?
Yes.
And tell me, the material you use, it's acrylic?
Yeah, I only use acrylic. It's true, like I dilute a lot the paint to have this transparent effect.
And prior to the exhibition now, we organized a film screening at Soho House in Mexico of your
yes.
documentary. But that's a documentary following you in your practice, which is available on Amazon and so on, right? What's the name again?
Yes. So that documentary is called Queen of Paradis. And it was directed by my partner in my work. His name is Carl Lindstrom. This documentary came out in 2020. And it follows the making of my series Midnight. And so we travel across the country to shoot that series. It's really an adventure. We have a new documentary that is in the making that will come out this fall. And it will be called Paradisland.
And tell me, the how important is it for the spectator or the viewer to witness the making of? Like, is this like part of your work, or is it minor in understanding the photography or painting? Because I mean, the collages are even pre the happenings, right? Or pre the performances.
Yeah. So at the beginning, we weren't filming the performances. With the time, we realized that it was actually like a huge part of the work. I feel it adds an additional part to the work for viewers to see how the work has been made. It's an adventure, so I think it's interesting to be able to share that aspect too. But the work can work independently.
Although I must say that I was very intrigued by your images you created. I was very intrigued by them because I find they create this sort of real, unreal aura, because on the first glance, they feel sort of generated or not, you know, Photoshop, but then you notice something is like there, you sense they're real. And I mean, it's exciting to see also what sort of crazy things you realize to produce these pictures. But I think they somehow transport this even without knowing, but still I think it's sort of entertaining to see. But you mentioned now that you work in series. Maybe you can take us through these different series and explain the differentiation.
So my first series was called Jungle, and this is the color palette with the orange, blue, and white. And this series was shot only in the US. And the second series called Midnight, it's with the yellow aqua kind of color and same blue. And the third series that will be released this fall, I use a totally different color palette. I'm not going to share the color palette now. It will be a surprise. But each of them are different, but at the same time, it's really a continuity. So some of the scenes that I shoot, you know, like for example, for the new series that will be released this fall, could have belonged to the first series. So I think it's just a progression, but it's still the same body of work, I would say.
But the series are not differentiated by, I mean, like, as I mentioned before, you catch a plane, or it looks like you catch a plane. Then another one is you hang on a sky lift. You sort of jump under a bridge. You jump off a cliff. You are on a huge billboard. And all these images where you wonder, like, they look almost like a collage, but then they're real. This runs through all the series. There's no differentiation between the series with your sort of activities.
No, so far, you can really recognize that they all belong together. But maybe with the time, because I believe I will always continue to do those photo series, but I know they will evolve. You know, they might be totally different in a few years, or, and I'm open to that idea too.
Yeah. So, I mean, probably it's more like a series only to limit yourself, I guess, no?
Yes, exactly.
Because, to have like an endpoint, to not like... Like a season one and two, you know? Like
yeah, exactly. Episodes.
Yeah, yeah. So because there's Eclipse, Midnight and Jungle, right?
Yes, and Eclipse is the new one.
Okay, so Jungle was the first.
Yeah.
Where are these titles coming from?
I would say, like, for example, for Midnight... It was more the time of the day that I wanted to translate. So I wanted the series to look as if they were shot under a blue moon, like a blue full moon. But of course, they are shot like during the daytime. So that was translating more the time. Eclipse, it's a similar idea too. Jungle was my first one, and I feel in that series I had a lot of animals too, like props. I had a lot of props animals that are part of the photos. It kind of came naturally for each of them.
And tell me, like, what are your influences or sort of heroes in the art history? Are there like influences which you would reference to?
In relation to the work directly, not necessarily, because it came a bit naturally and it's a process that is a bit complicated. It came because I developed that work. But of course, there are like artists that I really looked up to, like, for example, Yayoi Kusama. I have always loved the fact that she created really her own world. And she's very obsessive, and I feel I am very obsessed with certain things, and especially colors. So I would say, like, yeah, she inspired me in that way. But again, my work is different, but, you know, she would
be... Yeah, maybe also in, like, this immersive creation, no? Like, from your clothes to, like, living the work somehow.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And another detail I really like is in your paintings where there's a moon or sun to the right corner, and then there's like a door, you know, like a Malevich sort of square, but that you abstract or simplify the pictures you create. And when you do the paintings, you sort of reduce then rather add to it, which I find very interesting.
Yes, it really becomes like a deconstruction of the scene and almost like a simplistic render of the entire process and the scene. Yeah, almost like a childhood drawing, almost.
Yeah, because it's interesting. You create a collage, you know, you have this certain image in mind, then you live the collage because you sort of, you make it almost like a storyboard collage, then you act it. And as we all know, you haven't been there if you haven't made a photo. then you make the photo, and then you deconstruct it again into the hand painted, so that it comes out of you again on the canvas. There's no further distillation of the painting.
I mean, so far, none. But yeah, I mean, it could evolve. But I don't necessarily know right now what else the scene could become, you know. But
and is there a sculpture to? There's not always necessarily a sculpture to every motif, right? And not automatically a painting to every photo.
Yeah, exactly. No, it depends. Some of the scenes, they really inspire me to create a painting. And it also depends on the composition of the scene and all this. And some of them, they will never be a painting. And same thing for the sculptures. But a lot of the props that I use in my work will eventually, I think, like, they will become sculptures too. So far, I've developed maybe like 1/3 of them.
And the sculptures are like 2-dimensional, 3-dimensional, right? They always have these like almost like vector graphic presence.
Yes. All the sculptures are created by one sheet of glass. So I'm using uranium glass because it has that neon characteristic that I'm looking for. And so it's exactly the same color as the plexiglass that I use in the images. So it's one glass sheet, and then I bend it to give it the shape of the sculpture. But it's only one piece.
Like the bird or the fish.
And, yeah.
But you need somehow a background, no? Like, how is it presented?
It's presented, so for example, all the bird sculptures are hanging, and they are hanging in rooms that I lit with. So for example, for this exhibition in Mexico City, the room is blue, lit by blue light. And so you enter and there is just the bird in the room, but all the background is blue. So you are immersed in that blue room.
Great. Looking forward to see it. And you also mentioned that you are thinking about bringing these into digital artworks. So, I mean, maybe it's a bit too early to talk about it, but maybe you can share your ideas. Like, how would that look?
Yes. So I've been working on developing NFTs. And the one I prefer, like the concept that I prefer so far, is to have the photo. It would only work for photos that actually become paintings, that over like a minute or two, that the photo slowly transforms itself into the deconstructed painting. So it's a transition between the two, which I can't.
Like morphing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, hopefully later this year, you know, I've been working on it.
If you see the collage, which was a drawing, or not drawing, but the maquette or the concept of the photo, which then turns into a painting, is it recognizable? Like, wouldn't it be interesting then also to start with a collage, which turns into the photo, which turns into the painting? So let's say you see the photo and then you see the collage. Would you recognize, as someone who was not part of that process, that the collage actually is the source of the photo?
Yes, you would. But some of them, you know, evolve a little bit. So it's not as direct, you know, as far as the composition. But I think it's a great idea to also, for some of the scenes that are very close to the collage, you know, like if the photo is very close to the collage, to have the actual collage to start with this, then the photo, and then the painting.
And then maybe push the painting even further to a digital, you know, not just like a digital vectorization of the painting.
Yeah, it could.
Yeah,
it could.
Great. Sounds amazing. But I mean, very important, obviously, is the immersive experience of the space as well. No, that's why you paint the walls and you create special lighting. But do you also perform, like, or is a performance only to create the pictures?
So far, it's only to create the pictures, you know, and with the film. So during the exhibition, I'll have like some little excerpts from the film so you can see a little bit of the performance. But so far, I've never done a physical performance during an exhibition. But who knows? Maybe, you know, maybe later.
Cool, Ren. Thank you so much for taking us through your practice and a little bit into the light of Mexico, which is the equal light to Los Angeles.
Yes.
Would be interesting how your work would look if you would be, I don't know, in Iceland in the winter times.
But actually, I have one of my photos for my new series, Eclipse, is shot on an iceberg in Iceland.
But in summertime.
Yeah, with the sun. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, yeah. No, in the summertime, it never gets dark. You always have the this fluorescent light.
Yes.
Cool. Ren, thank you so much. Looking forward to see the final images and the video of that rotating bird sculpture. Thanks for taking the time.
Yes, thank you, Johan.
Was mit Kunst? Ein Podcast von und mit Johan König.